thinking, Did you manage to get that on?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, great.
I can hand those out for you.
So I think I've got it on there overhead, so that's great. So those, these are copies. So the top is the first example, and that's the second example.
Yeah, I think that's what I've got here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got three copies, but I've been able to get it on the overhead.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. It's a cold morning, so I put my best hat on, but I'll get serious now to make you remember me. So can I make a comment just on the previous submitter?
No.
I'm not allowed to.
No, you're here to speak to your submission, which we've read, so thank you for providing that. And you're
just that 12, that cultivation thing, I could clarify something if you wanted me to.
Well, no, because that was a point we raised with that submitter. You're welcome to speak to your submission.
No, that's cool. Rightio. Yeah. So,
and you don't have to stand up if you don't want to.
What's that?
You don't have to stand up if you
don't want to. No, I'm more comfortable standing up, and I'll just work through that on the overhead is easier. But you guys have all got a copy of that. So my, I'm Jules Adams. I farm just south of Lumsden, mixed farming, sheep, beef, deer, grain, dairy grazing, and I'm in a dairy syndicate, so I'm covering all the territory. I've just been through a dairy consent process. I got passionate about nutrient budgeting. I've just done the Massey nutrient budget course. And when I leave this planet, I want my farm to be passed on to the next generation in as good a condition as I was, and not just my farm, but the whole Southland area now. So I buy into all of this. I'm not a critical farmer. I think there's a lot of good stuff, but it's got to be done practically and cost effectively. So I'm just mainly 2 points. It's the 50 hectare intensive winter grazing threshold. So the draft plan, the initial draft had a percentage of the farm, and then that was changed to an area, which is 50 hectares. I don't agree with either of those. I think it should be a feed per hectare threshold. So basically, I look at stock intensity up here. If you look at that equation, it's a function of yield of the actual forage crop plus the supplement brought into the paddock. And stock intensity is what is a complete correlation, stock intensity to risk of nutrient loss, NNP. The more animals, whatever class of stock they are on a square metre, the more risk of more NNP loss. So I'm just using three examples to make my written point. The first example is, this is probably more, let's say that's a sheep farmer, let's say that's a cropping farmer, and let's say that's a dairy farmer or a dairy wintering operation. So area 50 hectares, 75 and 25. This one's got swedes or kale at about a 13 tonne yield. In brackets is the range of, roughly a bit of a range of what they normally are. The next guy cropping, he puts in, say, feed oats or stubble turnips in February and only gets 5 tonne yield. And the fodder beet does about 26 tonne. With a big range there on 25 hectares. So there's the total feed there. 50 hectares times 13 tonnes, 650, 225, 650. Not too worried about the total feed, I'm worried about the feed per hectare. So do you need consent under your proposed rule? That's right on the threshold, 50 hectares, plus or more, you know, so if you're just under or just over, yes or no. 75 hectares, definitely need consent for that. And 25 hectares, no. Okay, come through to add your typical supplement in these scenarios. So the sheep farmer, you see them out there, there's generally no baleage or hay fed in, they just break feed it, so zero. Same with the stubble turnips or green feed oats. If I just go back a step, forage crop, it isn't really defined. So forage crop has a huge range from something like stub, green feed oats through to fodder beet, which has a huge range in yield. Okay, so the fodder bed scenario, typically 14 kg to a cow, 4 of it will be supplement. It's a high supplement on the fodder bed due to the acidosis risk. You've got a high supplement use in the transition especially. So add the supplement in of 4 out of 14, and you've got an extra 260 ton added in. Okay, so now you've got total feed of 650, 225, 910. And now you've got a total feed per hectare of 13 ton, 5 ton, 36.4 ton. So, and this is what I call, and effectively that's all going to be eaten off, and that has got a direct correlation to stock intensity. So, which one is high risk out of these examples, and which one's a low risk? Well, 13 ton, that's probably the average. It's only 5 ton per hectare. You're not going to have that many animals on it. It's low risk. This one here, 36.4, I mean, how many times? It's 7 times that. It's high risk, very high risk. Now let's go back to consent. That's really high risk, but we don't need a consent. That's really low risk, and we do need a consent. The rule is not...
No, I understand.
Okay, so, let's take one more example. There's three examples there. Let's take one more example. Okay, this guy here needs a consent. He doesn't like bureaucracy, so he wants to avoid consent. How's he going to do that? Okay, I'll drop a paddock out. So I'll go from 50 hectares to 40 hectares of forage crop. And I'll do that by buying in silage to make up the 10 hectares that isn't in. So I'll buy 10 hectares of 13 tonne, there's 130 tonne of silage, and I'll have just 40 hectares. Don't need a consent, sweet. Okay, so that's good. Now you add that silage in to the reduced 40 hectares, and what's his total feed per hectare? 16.25 ton. So he's increased his footprint, his stock intensity, by 25% from 13 to 16.25, and he doesn't need a consent. So what I conclude is that the draft rule on area is actually incentivizing high feed per area, and therefore it's increasing the risk of nutrient losses. Because people will try and get away with getting under the 50 by throwing in the supplement, which is increasing intensity, higher risk.
Now we understand
the point, thanks. Okay, so that's my first point. So the second rule. Yeah, great. So my second point is on the feedlot wintering pads. So at the moment, I think the draft rule is, if you have more than one pad, you need a consent. So again, I don't think the number of pads is relevant, and this has been brought up. And again, I just come back to a stock intensity equation to work it out. So if you take, in this case, for a wintering pad, the stock intensity is the total feed on the feed pad divided by the pad area that you've got the animals on. So and this is assuming you've positioned the pad in an area that's under best practice and away from critical source areas and so on. Which to some degree you have to trust farmers that they'll want to do that. So just two examples to demonstrate this. Example one, 250 hinds wintered on a south feed pad on a hill block that's got a 20 hectare runoff. So it's a feed pad on a 20 hectare block. That's how much, 50 tonne is what they need. The stock intensity from that equation is 50 tonne over 20 hectares is 2.5 tonne per hectare, which I would consider very low risk. So I wouldn't care if this farmer had two or three of those scenarios, it's very low risk. Take example two, 60 cows wintered on a 50-ton feed pad, but typically, like this is a typical example where the feed pad might be locked under some trees or something, so they've virtually got no area, so they've got a hectare or something. So 50 over 1 hectare is 50 tonne per hectare, so it's very high risk. So again, this stock intensity equation to me, with a threshold, whatever you decide is high risk, whether it's 5 or 10 tonne. So, yeah, and I'll just make a note there on that example too, you'd actually expect that system to have some sort of effluent storage or removal. Yeah. Okay. And just my third submission point, and it's a question, is an indication of the consent costs and the timeframes. I'm not sure whether, I just don't think anything's been put out there, and I don't know if it's your duty to, but it would be nice to know. No, I mean, but it's timely now that farmers should be getting an understanding of roughly what sort of cost, and when you do need a consent for any of those things, what, you know, are we, is it going to be a consent for 3 years, for 5 years? Is it just going to be a consent for 1 year and an indication of cost? Because just an example, my nutrient budget for my dairy conversion consent was $3,000. So we just need to know, it would be nice timely to get an understanding of timing and cost. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Take a seat. We'll see if we have any questions. That's great. We might see that. So thanks for expanding on the point you made in your written submission with these notes and examples. They're pretty clearly demonstrating the point you want to make to us, but I'll just see if there's anything that the panel wants to clarify with you.
No, the point I wanted to raise has been answered, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. It's very clear to me. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, yes, thank you, Jules. You say you've done the overseer course. Have you done both of them?
No, I've just done the first one.
The immediate one.
Yeah. You got to do the first before you do the second.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Have you run an overseer budget over these scenarios that you've given to us today to see what the losses would be?
No, but it's completely correlated. Stock intensity will be correlated.
Yes, that's right. But in this second example here, you've got on the second page, you've got a high intensity on a small area, and then a lower intensity over 20 hectares and 1 hectare. So while you've got a high intensity on 1 hectare, you've got another 19 hectares with nothing on it, which would presumably have some dilution effect, isn't it?
On the second example, I'm just thinking about it, yeah. Yeah, so, okay, so I'm glad you raised that because that's something that really grates with me. Difficult or hard is something that I hate hearing people say, because this whole process, this whole thing we're going forward on, this whole journey, is bloody difficult, bloody hard. So if you want to set rules that make that are easy, you won't get a good outcome. And something like that stock intensity equation, that's pretty simplistic to most farmers. And I'm sorry, there's no apologies there. It's difficult, it's hard. So it's going to be complicated. You want to have it reasonably simplistic as you can, but it's not going to be. To have rules that are the most effective, you're going to have to make it a little bit complicated to get the best outcome. Yeah. So going back to your first question on the 19 hectares, so say that second example, if those cows were spread over that, if it was like scenario one where they did have the 20 hectares, then yes, you'd have a lot less leaching. Depending on the ground type, absolutely, like depending on if you're on free draining versus if it was a hill block. So I haven't mentioned any of that. So oversee your models with regard to all of that. Yeah. Yeah, but obviously that second example, yeah, but typically they'd trap it anyway.
I appreciate that. It'll be a little bit
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. I have no further questions for you, but thanks for providing those written examples. It's helpful.
I'm glad it made sense.
Yeah.